NASCAR season is here, and everyone on the Toyota racing team is doing their part to perform at the highest level. From driver Ty Gibbs to amateur musician Russell Viper, who's working on the perfect pre-race pump-up track for the team.
Start those Camrys up! Yeah!
To accomplish greater things this year, everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc. This NASCAR season, every member of the Toyota racing team is doing their part to take the trophy home. Like sixth grader Melissa Kowalski, who changes true to true X on every true-false quiz she takes.
All my teachers are Martin Truex Jr. fans now.
Keep up the great work, Melissa. To accomplish greater things this year, everyone plays a part. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
Order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Sprint car racing has always been kind of part of the equation, or it has been for the last number of years. It's always fascinating. It always brings out a lot of passion from sprint car fans along the way, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. It goes back, Aaron, this goes back to years ago when Steve Kinzer shocked the sprint car world by going NASCAR racing.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Swindell tried a little bit. Sammy tried a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And then they didn't have necessarily the success over on the NASCAR side that they wanted to.
No, I don't think so. And you always wonder, is it because of all the dirt experience or is it because the equipment they got into? Like, the factors are so large, you can never really know what happened or why it didn't go. But it for whatever reason, it seems in history, guys coming from a USAC who have pavement experience end up with a little bit more success.
Right. You go to Thursday Night Thunder.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Gordon. Okay,
Tony Stewart,
Ryan Newman, Kenny Irwin.
Yeah,
exactly. You have those guys, and they took it to a whole new level as far as the sprint car to NASCAR careers.
Yeah.
And then Tony Stewart probably might have been the first to take it to another level where make all the money in NASCAR, spend it in sprint car racing, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And that's great. And now with Tony... Jeff Gordon has been involved in so many fronts of sprint car racing.
Yep.
Jeff, in complete honesty, everyone's like, Jeff should own a team. Jeff should. Here's the problem. If Jeff and John Bickford decided to own a team, they would be two divorced men living in a garage somewhere in the Charlotte area because they have such a passion for it.
They'd be living in a motorhome at the races.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. They would. And they've been like, we would just go so – we know us. John. Well, especially John Bickford.
John, whew.
You give John a project, and you got 24/7.
Yeah.
And so John and Jeff decide to go sprint car racing. They're two divorced men.
Yeah.
Because they're in the motor coach driving around. But Jeff does so much with the sport and his passion for it. But then Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Yeah.
I got his. He's great. He's going to join us later this week on our program presented by Sage Fruit. Kyle Larson, of course. Now he's back running the sprint car world, and we've got all of that going on. And I set this all up today because a lot of young drivers are working their way up this path, and we're going to talk to one of those. Gio Selzy is going to join. It's going to be fun talking to Gio Selzy.
It will be.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting because I read some of his quotes about his most recent race, and he talks about the frustration of trying to lay pavement. So it'll be neat to talk to him about
it. Well, there's somebody else that has been through this before. There was a young lady racer that had success in sprint car racing by the name of Erin Crocker.
Yeah.
It is not an easy transition to do what you did, what Gio's trying to do, what Tony and those guys have done.
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience, but when I first went to test one of Ray's cars, because I drove for Evernham Motorsports, I had never raced a late model. I had never raced anything on pavement other than quarter midges. I had just raced wing sprint cars, and here we're going to go to Nashville and test. I'm like, all right, here we go. That time I tested that car, I was as green as could be.
Yeah. The aggressive, I can do anything confidence that a sprint car driver has to have sounds good with all the planning. And then you slide down in the car and it's like, oh, what?
I remember sitting in the car the first time and being like, there's a windshield in here? Like, it's, it was just such a foreign thing to be inside what felt like almost like a, you know, a street car because you're in a stock car. I was like, there's a windshield. This is a weird feeling.
Ray shared with Jeff Gordon the starter. Jeff's sitting there in the car, and Ray shared this on Dale Jr.'s download.
Well, it wasn't just the starter. It was,
come here.
How do I shift?
How do I shift? I do it us. It's fascinating stuff. It really is. It's really cool. Oh, by the way, she's Erin Everingham. I'm Steve Post. This is Wing Nation, presented by Drydene, by DRF Racing Oil, and by Hercules Tires. And I can't wait to talk to Gio about all of this. And then in the sprint car side, he picks up the red with a nearing car. I mean, he's going to Knoxville in that 18 car. I mean, you know, for the one and only. Yep. I can't wait to talk to Gio Selzy about it. So it is going to be fun. It really, truly is. I'll tell you another one of our friends that had some fun. Okay. My buddy Jeff Wessel. All right. Now, he got the legend. He broke the Legends car out up in Wisconsin at Beaver Dam. Okay. And his old buddy Nelson Stewart showed up. Two of those two. You want to talk about two old boys having a good time in the pit area. Running Legends cars at Beaver Dam. Jeff had something, I think it was an electrical glitch. He was running up toward the front of the field, had an electrical glitch, but he's already got it repaired and ready to go now. He's all on fire. And I say that about my buddy Jeff Wessel because he is with Hefter Racing Products. Now, a year ago, they hooked us up for one of the greatest experiences of Aaron's life, our mule ride out at Knoxville. And I drove, she rode. It was spectacular. It was fantastic.
Still have some neck injuries I'm
recovering from. There's that. Okay, but it's minor details here. You know, now you're getting off the reservation. That's not in the script over here. Okay, mule conversions, though, the absolute number one pit utility vehicle in sprint car midget racing is a custom mule conversion from HRP. It starts with a solid platform, dependable, good-looking Kawasaki mule, and it's customized and built to each customer specifications.
They have options like generator, air compressor, shock and radius rod racks, amazing toolboxes and drawers, LED lighting, walk-on roofs, and more. HRP Mule conversions perform, outlast, and maintain their value better than any other utility vehicle. HRP Mules, raising the standard again in pit utility vehicles.
Yes, indeed. They're our friends. Also, we have a lot of friends in Pennsylvania, and sometimes our friends get into little spats with each other. And that's been the case up there with my friend Danny Dietrich and my friend Freddie Raymer. And, well, they kind of had some fun again at the fabulous Lincoln Speedway. Here's Chet Christner with the call. It was on Flow Racing this past Saturday night.
And now for the Drydene death-defying move of the week, where one driver simply amazes us with their on-track moves.
And here comes a run around the outside. A little ripper off the top shelf and hot on the heels. Down into turn number one and two. Dietrich down the inside. Raymer around the outside. There's a lane there. They'll come together. Sparks fly. And Danny Dietrich wheels it up into the number one spot.
That death-defying move was brought to you by Drydene Diesel All Def, the official def of the World of Outlaws and wheelmen everywhere. Visit drydene.com for more information.
We are Team Drydene.
Power isn't born, it's built over time. For over 65 years, Hercules Tires has been providing the muscle to move more drivers. Whatever the vehicle, whatever the terrain, and we back it with a powerful protection plan. So wherever the road or the trail takes you, we have the selection, value, and strength to get you there. Hercules Tires. Ride on our strength.
We are talking today. Oh, by the way, we're in the Hercules Tire Studios. This is Wing Nation, presented by Drydene, by DRF Racing Oils, and by Hercules Tires. Erin Everingham and Steve Post. We're talking today about a lot of things, and of course, we're going to talk some sprint car racing as well, but we're talking about that relationship, NASCAR, sprint cars, drivers moving, trying to advance from it. And right now, we've got one of our young superstars in the sprint car world trying to make that transition as well. Had a couple of races out on the West Coast, and he joins us right now via the Sage Fruit Hotline. Gio Selzy joins us. Hello, Gio. Welcome back to Wing Nation.
Good to be back. How's it going, guys?
We are doing well. How are you? How's things in your world as you bounce around the country from different fenders and non-fenders and wings and everything else? How is it going?
It's been very busy, but I'm in Des Moines at truck we got rained out Tuesday or Monday, whenever that was, the front row challenge was supposed to be. But, yeah, just waiting for the Nationals to start.
No doubt, no doubt. Gio, I want to start this conversation talking a little bit about where you're going with NASCAR. Okay, let's talk about that. You had a couple races in the Upper West Coast, top four finishes in both of them. I guess just off big picture, how is that going?
And honestly, it's been the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I mean, it's just how it's been frustrating. Just it's been really tough. I mean, I feel like with the COVID stuff and testing has been limited, and it just made everything a lot tougher on me. But yeah, it's just pretty much throw everything I've ever done away in a dirt car and start fresh with a stock car. So you know, between restarts and just the people I'm around, it's been a huge transition. But I think finally it seems like I was pretty lost the first couple races and just didn't really know what direction to turn where or how I was feeling or what way to go. But I think the last couple races we finally started to figure it out a little bit, and it's been a lot more consistent.
Gio, I tried to make the transition about 15 years ago now. I'm aging myself. But I felt like one of the hardest things for me, even from the get-go, was to feel that heavy of a car. You're used to a sprint car that weighs, 1,300 pounds. And you get in this stock car, and it's wide and it's bigger. Is that some of the issue? I know for me it was that feel and giving good feedback.
Oh, 100%. And you know, it's also tough because you know how it is. Those things move. The shocks move, you know, 3/4 of an inch, 5/8 of an inch. And a sprint car, it's moving 3, 4, 5 inches, you know. And it wheelies and it does all kinds of crazy stuff, but those things don't move a whole lot. So, like you said, you know, telling those guys what I'm feeling, it's so hard to pick apart the movements because they are so much more subtle than a sprint car. That's been the biggest thing, is just trying to give good feedback. And it's easy to go out there and just ride around and, you know, not really feel.
Gio Selzy, I'm sorry, we had a break into the phone call. Yep, there we go. Continue. Sorry, we had the phone line drop out for a second, but we've got you. Continue on. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, you're good. Yeah, but no, it's tough because the movements and those things are so much more subtle. And, you know, honestly, it's lingo too. You know, how I talk about the race car and how those guys understand it. It's just getting used to each other and trying to translate the dirt world into the pavement world.
Gio, one of the things in talking with drivers making that transition from sprint car to the big, heavy stock cars, in stock car racing, one of the key elements is you communicating and telling the crew what to do to the car to get that car to handle. In sprint car world, it seems like the driver has much more control. If it doesn't work on the bottom, just go to the cushion or find that line in the middle. Have you found that to be a challenge as well, in that there may be a little less you can do behind the wheel of the race car to fix it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in that aspect of it, a lot of the racetracks we've been to are two lanes or three lanes of racing where you can move around, and where your car is not working, there's another lane to go to. But I think a lot of the pavement stuff is one lane racing. And if your car is not working right, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, unfortunately. But, I mean, you have obviously tire fans, brake fans, and brake bias, but that's really it. And the sprint car is the same way, but you can obviously manipulate the car a lot more. But I think it's just learning how to work your feet and learning how to manipulate the car to get them to do what you want them to do.
Gio, I read a quote that you had that one of the things you've been struggling with a little bit is not overdriving the pavement car, because in a sprint car, you need to drive it to the edge almost every lap. Obviously, there's some finesse involved, but in a stock car, sometimes the slower you think you go, the faster your times are. I can completely relate to that, but describe what you mean by that. It is really easy to overdrive a stock car, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it is. It's so easy to overheat the brakes and overheat the tires, and in the end, it's a 150-lap race, not a 30-lap race. So I think you got to understand that you got what you got, and most of the time we don't have pit stops. So if your car's not good in the beginning, you have to realize that, hey, there's 140 more laps to go. Let's not ruin this thing right now. Maybe it'll get better at the end, which I'm really good at ruining it early in a race or getting frustrated. I've got that down pat. But, you know, it's just so much different. I think that you have to get out of the mindset of a sprint car race and get in the mindset of a stock car race.
One of the other aspects that is vastly different in the two series are run is that in the sprint car, you go race on Friday night, and if it goes good, great. If it goes bad, well, you got Saturday night, you got Sunday night, you got Tuesday night, you got Wednesday night, you've got this, you got that. In the stock car world, you don't have that, except this past weekend where you got a chance to do back-to-back. There was a Friday and a Saturday night show. How nice was that to be able to come right back the next day and build off what you guys did on Friday night?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, obviously, most of the time we have testing, and you know, sprint cars race all the time, but we test a lot more, obviously, in stock car racing. But, you know, testing's been limited, and everything's really been limited, track time and the racing. The schedules during the race there are super condensed. I think we only get a 45-minute session which is our practice and qualifying. So, back-to-back nights like that where you can try to translate, and it's tough enough going from a sprint car to a stock car, but when you can get those back-to-back nights, which, like you said, are really rare in stock car racing, to try to, you know, stay in the groove and try to give better feedback and you know, try and explain what you're feeling better.
Gio, as you try to make this transition to the NASCAR world, is it difficult? Or, I mean, obviously, the more racing, the better. And you're super successful in a sprint car. But is that transition hard sometimes? So, like, you're going from one team and one focus and one set of lingo, and then you're flying to Knoxville and you're going to run the one and only and race sprint cars for a few days, and a whole other team, whole other set of lingo, and different habits. Is that difficult, or is it kind of nice to try to do both?
Yeah, it is very difficult. Obviously, this year I've had a lot of changes, between teams and series and, you know, everything really. But I think, obviously, going back to a sprint car and you know, that's what I'm comfortable in now, you know, and it's almost like going back home and everything kind of feels normal again. But going back in the groove of racing a stock car, I mean, it all has kind of gotten normal.
This time he didn't come back. We lost him once earlier. And he joined us back in, but this time we've lost him for good. So we'll see if we can dial back up.
You got me?
Okay, yeah, we got you now. Yep, continue on. Sorry about that.
I'm driving down the road. No, you're good. but, yeah, I think sprint cars are obviously what I'm comfortable in. And, you know, like I was saying, I got in a stock car the first couple times, and it's like, all right, which way is reverse? You know, how do I do this? Do I need a backup? Or how do I, you know, what do these switches mean? And it's just been a lot different, but like I said, a sprint car is definitely what I'm most comfortable in.
I am sure, and the good news is that you not only are aboard a sprint car, but you're aboard one of the top sprint cars in the country, that number 18 car. And oh, by the way, we're going to Knoxville for $50,000. This deal that you've been able to put together with that 18 team, how did it come together? And you got to be happy you're in that car.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the top teams in sprint car racing, and it all came together, and it was this year has been through a lot of changes from stock cars, sprint cars to moving teams and just trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, we're again in the same situation where we've lost contact as far as that goes with Gio. And really was hoping to get into a little bit more of that conversation with him. We'll see if we can find him back again. But sometimes we just have to do what we have to do with it. With modern technology making everything better.
And with a driver that's going from Washington State to Iowa to...
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that windstorm got some of the cell towers out there in Iowa as well. So we'll kind of dance around here a few seconds and see if we can reestablish a good connection with a Gio in it. It gives us a chance to talk about one of our friends. The auto industry is the backbone of America's economy, and Ford chooses to invest more in America because of its rich heritage here. The Blue Oval employs more U.S. hourly workers and assembles more vehicles in America than any other auto manufacturer by a wide margin. So whether it's a Ford dealer in Kentucky, a technician in Indiana, or an engineer in Michigan, we're proud to have them as part of the team. Ford, built for America. We have established connection again with Gio Selzy. The 18 car, boy, that's a pretty fast hot rod you've got yourself associated with there, Gio.
Yeah, and especially going into the Nationals or, you know, whatever you want to call it, the one and only. But, we were good at Knoxville. We've been there twice and had two good finishes. But I think, you know, especially the way the schedules have changed in sprint car racing, I think now it's harder to win an outlaw race and all-star race than it's ever been before. So I think there's a big gap between winning races and running inside the top five. So we just kind of got to break through.
The KCP car you mentioned, obviously we know it's great equipment. They've been on the Outlaw Tour for years, but they've also raced a lot at Knoxville. What is it? And you've driven a lot of great cars, so you have a lot to you do have some comparison. But that car, their notebook for Knoxville, has got to be make you feel even more confident.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler's been on the podium multiple times at the Nationals, and he's got a lot of time there. And Adam, who works on the car, they're two really good guys, and we really have all the tools we need to be successful. It's just kind of up to us to make it happen. And like you said, I've been comfortable at Knoxville over the last 2 years, and I feel like I've improved a lot. So I think it's a good combination going into Nationals.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we're talking with Gio Selzy here on the program. You mentioned Tyler, okay, Tyler Swank, okay? What's that like? I mean, yeah, I mentioned his name. We start laughing, okay? What is that like working with Tyler?
You know, we've known each other for probably 3 or 4 years now, and we've been on the, you know, almost worked together on a couple deals. I think he came the year after I got fired from Ross, so we were going to work together there, and that didn't work out. And it just, you know, nothing ever came together where we could work together. And then when him and Matt called me, I was like, all right, you know, maybe this could be something that could work out when they were getting rid of Ian. But, yeah, I think you just say Swank and everybody kind of knows who he is. And like you said, they laugh. So he's a lot of fun to run up and down the road with. And we're becoming more friends as we spend more time together.
That's great. Gio, we can't talk to you on mentioning Tyler Swank, talking about sense of humor. We got to talk about your dad and your brother, because you guys all just keep us very entertained, whether it's on social media or what. But, I mean, the taco truck your brother had going on at Knoxville. Yeah. Just talk about what it's like for you this week, getting to race with your brother, being in Knoxville. Yeah, it's not the Nationals, but it's still a pretty special place.
No, I think it's awesome because, like, last night or whatever night that was at Oskaloosa, I was sitting in the pit stands, and when Dominic split Brownie, the entire stand I was in was on their feet yelling, screaming. And then whenever Brownie drives back by, I was like, ah, dang it. You know, but I think that there's not a person in the stands that doesn't love Dominic. I think that's what's so awesome. They're all his biggest fan. And now, especially with Twitter and how much more popular he's gotten, everybody cheers for Dominic.
Yeah. What did I see? Well, Brownie was busy hanging onto the trophy and holding onto the third place finisher. Dominic snuggled right up with the trophy girl there. Sounds
and
like
of course, guess who commented? Terry.
Yeah, Terry. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, yeah, Terry McCarl commented on it. I think that was a peak performance, cool move of the night there by your brother.
Yeah, he almost slid him for the win, but he slid him for the trophy girl.
what is the speeding ticket count for your dad? Kidding. What's the speeding ticket count for your dad?
Oh, you know, hey, actually, he got out of this one. So we're leaving. I think we're leaving Knoxville, and this was the other day. Dominic tweeted it when we run I ran the ARCA race, and then came and ran the sprint car race, and we're leaving. You know, my dad's on the phone talking, and as he gets talking, you know, the pedal gets pushed harder to the floor, and he's doing, you know, those speed traps. You know, when it goes from 65 to 55, so he's rolling 65. Like, only car on the road, lights come on behind him. He's like, are you kidding me? So he actually, Dominic and him talked his way out of this one, you know, instead of getting 7 speeding tickets the same day.
Now, what is that? How does that go when your dad and your brother try to talk themselves out of a speeding ticket? I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that.
Yeah, I think whenever you get pulled over and you realize how the guy acts, you know whether you're going to get a ticket or not. And if they can make the guy laugh most of the time, they're going to be okay.
Well, if anybody can accomplish that, it's your dad and your brother. That is for sure. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm going to miss it. And it looks like Dominic's got his car rolling pretty good, too.
Yeah, they changed cars. Obviously, they struggled a bit with Jimmy in the beginning. But I think it just takes time to get better together. And I think they're finally kind of running better and you know, figuring each other out more. Doing a better job and figuring what the race car wants and getting the motors to run. I think it's hard when you hire somebody new, you know, coming into an operation that they're not familiar with the cars and the motors and the wings and the people to how everything works. So I think it seems like they've started to run a lot better. Houston kind of seemed like it was a breakthrough for them, almost winning there. And then, you know, running better, obviously, the last couple weekends. So I think they're definitely going to do a good job here at Nationals.
Seems like it. That is for sure. Final question for you. And Jeremy Elliott did a really good job with Sprint Car Unlimited on this piece. Back to the 18 car. You find yourself in a little bit of a different situation there in that a lot of the other deals you had to be hands-on with the race car. What's it like just showing up with the helmet in hand and being a hired driver? What's that been like? You probably do it more in NASCAR, but what's that been like on the sprint car side?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously with Bernie, it was a kind of a unique deal. Him running his business and then me working on the race cars, which I love working on race cars. Obviously, I think, you know, with Tyler and Adam, there's only two guys on the team, so I am a little bit hands-on just helping the guys around the shop, but they pretty much have it sorted out without me. So I think I can kind of, you know, focus on watching the racetrack more and working on myself physically, going to the gym and focus on driving, because in the end, that's really kind of how you go to the next level is being a hired driver. So I think it's a bit of a different environment, but like you said, the NASCAR thing's that way, so I'm kind of getting used to it.
I guess. Well, we're going to have fun watching you. Aaron and I are in mourning because we're watching from afar, the one and only. And then I've had fun watching you in the ARCA races as well. It's been really cool, and I think there might be one or two down the road where we might end up with MRN, might have some coverage, so maybe get a chance to see you in person do that. But fascinating story, fun story, and we appreciate you taking some time today and sharing where you're at with all of that. Wish you the best this weekend, and who knows, maybe we'll talk to you real soon after another big win.
For sure. Thank you, guys.
There we go. Gio Selzy joining us here on the program. So, and all of that is the NASCAR, the sprint car stuff from the son of an NHRA champion. I think that's kind of weird, too. Yes,
yeah. Exactly. And the other thing, you know, talking with Gio, and I think our listeners who might not know would never guess his age.
No,
and
I know.
The fact he is 18 years
18
old.
18 years
he is
old.
So mature.
Yes.
So well-spoken.
Yeah, like his father is significantly older and far less mature, okay? Like his brother is
yes.
an older brother and less mature.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And they would be
although,
happy to claim that.
Although, who was it? Was it when we were at Jackson, it was it Trey Starks and him?
Oh,
when they got on the stage?
And at Knoxville, I think both times.
Both times.
Yeah.
I think the difference is I think Dominic embraces it a little bit more on social media,
yes.
and maybe Gio doesn't.
Gio actually kind of maybe has filters. He's a Celsius
yes.
with...
Well, a Celsius with filters? No, yeah. that's not even possible.
I mean, it seems to be the case.
Yeah, because when those two got snickering and cut up, you knew there was some shenanigans that had happened
yeah.
between the two of
yeah.
them. But I can't find anything on it.
Yeah.
Okay, now maybe that's where we need to get our hound dogs working on that. Find out if Gio is how much Chelsea he really has.
Yeah,
in
we'll
him.
Call up Dominic.
Yeah, yeah.
We know he'll tell us.
Well, Dominic will tell us everything. Dominic will put it out there on social media. Let's meet at the taco truck and do a podcast on it. So, now, wonderful, wonderful. I go back with Dominic and Gio, and of course Gary. Gary, we did some snowmobile charity rides with, which is just. Drinking with
and raising money.
Yeah, and raising money.
Yeah.
We raised money for
yeah,
kids. That's
yeah,
right. We did
exactly.
a good job. But Gary was hysterical doing that. But I'll never forget when we first dialed up Dominic, he was in high school and he had to go to the teacher's
oh, yeah.
lounge and to do the radio show
that.
During lunch break. He had to go to the teacher's mm-hmm. lounge and do it. And he told us all along, he said, man, I love sprint cars. My brother, you're going to have to watch
yeah,
him.
He
is
did.
Intense. He is a great racer. He wants to go to NASCAR. And Dominic's angle here is that hopefully he makes all the money in the world in NASCAR, so he starts a sprint car team, and maybe he'll hire his brother to drive it. So that's Dominic's angle on the whole thing.
Not a bad angle.
Not a bad angle. No, it's not. No, it is not. So great stuff. Hey, we need to step away. More Wing Nation coming up in just a moment.
Power isn't born. It's built over time. For over 65 years, Hercules Tires has been providing the muscle to move more drivers. Whatever the vehicle, whatever the terrain. And we back it with a powerful protection plan. So wherever the road or the trail takes you, we have the selection, value, and strength to get you there. Hercules Tires. Ride on our strength.
Team Dryden.
Just like racing components, Aggressive Hydraulic purpose builds hydraulic cylinders to perform for customer-specific applications. Design and manufacture of mobile-style, single-stage cylinders as well as multi-stage telescopic cylinders.
They have a no-one-size-fits-all approach. They have hydraulic solutions for virtually every industry that uses hydraulic cylinders. They proudly design and manufacture all cylinders in the United States. Check out the video or their story at aggressivehydraulics.com.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so now comes the morning portion of the show. All right, I made some notes here. I want to talk about this one and only race, okay? It is the one and only, the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars, Thursday and Friday. Complete shows, $10,000 to win. It's a point accumulation event. And then on Saturday, it's the Brownells Capitani Classic presented by Great Southern Bank, $50,000 to win. Knoxville this year, and again, it's not the Nationals. We get that. But Aaron, I've looked. We've got obviously the mainstays, but then we got some drivers that are peaking at about the right time.
Yeah.
Talking about the mainstays, and I actually got Lonnie Wheatley's pool to join in, and the four mainstays. And I agree with the pool: Donnie Schatz, David Gravel, Brad Sweet, and Kyle Larson.
Yep.
You're gonna if someone else is gonna win it, they're gonna take it off from one, two, three, or four
yeah.
of those guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have those mainstays. I think the guys that have really shown well consistently at Knoxville over the last couple of years, Logan Schuchart has been just a dynamo.
Oh, yeah.
He's been strong. Aaron Reitzel's been so strong out there, and Brownie as well. Brownie
yep.
is Brownie out there, so
yep.
I think that's the case. But I think there's four drivers, and they may be in that latter category, or there may be. I think there's four drivers that are really getting hot at just the right time, okay? Kerry Madsen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're and then you look at teams, drivers, crew chiefs capable of winning Knoxville. Kerry Madsen has all of those in place. Okay, Sheldon Hodenschild. I think Sheldon is just rolling. They've really
they're
got that car rolling
good.
They're on to something. Rico Abreu has just been so good, especially at Knoxville. He has been really good there over the last month. And I'm telling you, the one that I'm keeping an eye on is Shane Stewart.
Yeah.
He's gotten, they're doing a throwback for Stevie Smith. They're doing a number 19 car.
Yeah.
But what him and Bernie have going on with that 71, it is getting to the stage. And we know he picked up a win at Williams. Well, and we had him on after that. He says, if I won at Williams Grove, you know something's going good. But now you can't go to a race without that 71 being at the
Peavely,
front.
He was strong.
Yes, absolutely. And we know Shane, he's a five-time 360 winner at Knoxville, so that's a racetrack that he really knows how to get around.
And when we talked to the late Jason Johnson, he said that week that Shane had given
him
a lot of
tips. That's right, Shane had given him a lot of tips.
And
you're
he wouldn't
right
tell
that.
Us what the tips were.
No, he wouldn't, exactly. So I just think this thing is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
You got to look at those four, Schatz, Gravel, Sweet, and Larson. But I'm telling you, I'm not putting a lot of money on those guys because there's some of these stories. I'm telling you, the way if Kerry Madsen gets that 410 car rolling like that 360 car was on Saturday night, it might have been a matter of Schatz, Gravel, Sweet, and Larson racing for second.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's just going to be a fascinating event. Dirt Vision has it all, and we are going to be sad, but we are going to enjoy the racing. But it's not the same. And so we're going to be more sad than enjoying the race.
I have that Time Hop app on my phone. So
it goes back
every year. And, of course, this weekend, every year for the last, 10 years, we've been in Knoxville. And it's like, go to the next year. Oh, there we are eating the corn at the
Cattleman Stand.
Cattleman Stand.
Ross Weiss has been there this week. He's been blocked.
There we are at the cart track. Yeah. There we are at the Dingus. And it's
Mine started Saturday when our president, Chris Schwartz, sent a picture of the Hercules Tires stage empty. It was a pre-picture that they shot, and he set that out, and I'm like, well, this is not
good.
No, it's not. No. And so we said all of this to tell you that on Monday, there will be many, many of you that Aaron and I are begging friendship back on Facebook and social media because we're probably going to do a lot of blocking over this weekend. Now, those of you out there, enjoy it. It's 2020, and it's just frustrating as all get out. But again, grateful to the World of Outlaws in Knoxville for giving the opportunity to race for $50,000. That's pretty sporty in itself. So that is really, really cool. All right. ASCS Speedway Sprint Week powered by Smiley's continues on Thursday night. If you're watching this on Thursday, 81 Speedway Park in Park City, Kansas. This is a great racetrack. New management this year. They're doing a great job out there. Sepulpa, Oklahoma tomorrow night. Saturday, I-30 Speedway in Little Rock. Sunday at Diamond Park Speedway, Murfreesboro. 3,000 win each night. RacingBoys.com has all of the coverage. Fairbury American Legion Speedway in Fairbury, Illinois. The IRA bumper-to-bumper sprints. Talked to Steve Sinclair, and he says, I've never scheduled this weekend but it's like everyone else. You got to get races in. It's not the Knoxville Nationals. You got to get races in. And Fairbury had an opening, and it's a great little racetrack. And the IRA, there's not a lot of their drivers that are going to go to Knoxville. Maybe Baylog will. Maybe there's two or three, Jake Blackhurst or guys like that. But if they chose not to, if they want to fend off for the IRA championship. And this is a great story that is developing in Western Pennsylvania.
Okay. Love
that track. I know you do. I know you love Mercer. Okay. Michael's Mercer Speedway. Okay. And we've talked about this on Wing Nation. This was a standard Saturday night racetrack. Boom. 410 sprint cars. Learneville on Friday night, Mercer on Saturday night. And then it sat idle and went to new ownership. And I forget the guy's first name. Michael's is the last. Great guy. I was up there, met him and his girlfriend. They have a passion for racing, first and foremost. But I like the way they've done this. They haven't just gone all in, elbows deep on, we're coming right back with 410 sprint cars and big block modifieds and everything else. They have walked with this thing, and they've done a nice job. Last year, they had one 410 show, and it was well done. I mean, that was the one I actually was at that race, and it was great. I love that racetrack. Love that racetrack. This year, and again, we're dealing with the Rona. So who's racing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What we're not doing? They've had three 410 races, and Saturday night went so well. They said we're coming back and doing it again coming Saturday. So the Western Pennsylvania drivers are great. Love them. I did the Learneville Mercer thing last year one weekend, and I love that area, and I love the people up there. And boy, to have another mainstay Saturday night racetrack, yeah, if it's 10 times a year, because now, see, Sharon stepped up and grabbed some races, Tri-County grabbed, yeah, some races, Bedford is, so now hopefully they can all kind of work together to be like, okay, yeah, Saturday night there's going to be four options. Some have also moved over to Port Royal and raced in, which is great too, but if they could all work together, but it is good to have this Mercer piece back in the puzzle. And what they have done there is phenomenal. And I've followed along. When you go to a track, you follow along a little closer because you have a little bit of a connection with, yep, them. And I followed along what this guy and his girlfriend have done. They are doing it one step at a time. They're not coming in, spending a zillion dollars, going broke, and leaving everybody hanging. Okay. Yeah. We ran one sprint car race. Now we're running three. Well, we'll add a fourth one here because it's going well and we're in a weird time. I love what they're doing. So get out if you're in Western Pennsylvania, get out and support the Mercer Speedway. It's just, boy, these racetracks don't come back often.
No.
I mean, and so, and when it's a good one, too, that's a great racetrack.
Oh, you bet.
You love that place,
don't you?
Oh, yeah. You own like six track records there.
I had the 360 and 410 track record for a long time.
Wow.
I'm not sure. I don't think either of them stand anymore, but God knows it's been about 18 years since I did, or 17.
Wow.
But yeah, I love that. I think one of the first times I went there with a 410, it was only my like fourth or fifth race in a 410, and I set a new track record, and I finished fourth with the All-Stars, and I was like on top of the world. I mean, that was like a win for me.
Yeah.
But I just always loved that racetrack.
Good people, good racetrack, yep, that is for sure. So get out and support those tracks. Western Pennsylvania, such a rich area. So neat. All right. Let's see what we got going on. Wing Nation Apparel is available at www.wingnation.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Facebook, or our YouTube page where we have all of these interviews on there. And coming up on our television program, Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Woohoo! Man, it's good, boy. We already recorded this, baby. Stenhouse was on his A game.
Oh, boy.
Oh, talking sprint cars. Oh, man. We finally got to the end of the interview, and Craig is in our ear saying, okay, we need to wrap it up. I'm like, forgot to ask him about NASCAR. I'm like, oh, Ricky, we got to be real quick. How's the NASCAR thing going? And it was cool and everything. Ricky's headed off, and Ricky is not a happy NASCAR driver this weekend because he's headed off to Daytona, which generally makes Ricky Stenhouse very, very happy. But we're on the road course. And so,
yeah, you got to turn right and left.
Motor Racing Network going to be there all weekend long as well from the World Center of Speed, Daytona International Speedway for road course racing. Get out, support the races, okay? Wherever they're at, we've talked about some of them. The one and only is on Dirt Vision. Flow Racing has a number of races. Racing Boys are busy with the tour. Motor Racing Network, we have all the NASCAR and ARCA coverage there. Get out and support the races if you can. In this time, and we get more and more people saying, I just don't feel comfortable, but thank God for pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a lot of those comments where, or I have an elderly person. Well, yeah, exactly. An elderly person. I have someone in my family, yeah, and I just don't feel comfortable. This pay-per-view has been such a blessing. It's been so good. So support it whichever way you can. That is for sure. We appreciate Geo Madsen. Geo Madsen. Boy, is there some breaking news there.
Wow, that's it.
Geo Selzy for joining us here on the program. But more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here on Wing Nation, presented by Dryden, by DRF Racing Oil, and by Hercules Tires.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
No, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Ruoff Mortgage wants to welcome you home with their fast and stress-free mortgage process. Ruoff knows that when you're ready to move, you want to keep things moving. From the moment you start, Ruoff makes sure the process moves quickly, often twice as fast as other lenders, so you can close quickly and settle in sooner. Visit Ruoff.com to learn how you can qualify for the fastest loan of your life. That's Ruoff, R-U-O-F-F.com.